Yeah, today in the Church of England is known as Low Sunday. Low Sunday. It's the Sunday after Easter. Sometimes it had that nickname because it was about low attendance. Not many people came. Everybody was on holiday. Yeah, there are lots of people here, aren't there? But I want to look at Low Sunday a bit differently because it's the story of a man who felt really low. Yes, he did, didn't he? So have you ever fallen into deep mud? I went walking with a young person recently who thought it was great fun to push me into the mud, and I haven't, my boots have only just dried out, really. I haven't had a chance to clean them off properly. Yes, I really should, you're quite right. Have you ever got into sticky mud? Next slide, Joan, please. It is horrible stuff to walk in, isn't it? And have you ever had to carry a really heavy load? That's hard work, isn't it? Big rucksack full of stuff. Well, there was a man called John Bunyan who wrote a book called Pilgrim's Progress. Yes, please, Joan. And it's the hero in the book is a man called Christian, and he sinks into a marsh weighed down with a huge rucksack. And if we click again, he goes through what he calls the slough of despond. I love that. Slough. Yeah, it just sounds muddy. Yeah. Slough. Slough of despond. He was fed up. He was miserable, like you were when you realised these weren't your fans. Yes, I know, it's tough, isn't it? Never mind. Okay. Thomas felt just like that. The man we're going to look at this morning, called Thomas, felt really, really depressed. And then a moment later in the story, he felt like on a mountaintop. Next slide, Joan. It's really difficult. Do you ever have those times, those pivotal moments, you know, perhaps like learning to ride a bike, going to secondary school, your first job, where one moment you're down in the dumps and then you're up on the mountain? It's quite difficult to know what to do, isn't it? A pivotal moment, key moment. And in the Bible, these pivotal moments happen all the time. Now, if you took part in the Easter egg hunt, did you? No? Oh, no, we're upset about that. If you took part in the Easter egg hunt that Will organised, maybe you felt like that. Brilliant when you found the Easter eggs, and actually a bit down when you couldn't find them. So, this man called Thomas, was he in the swamp getting muddy boots, or was he on the mountaintop? Well, let's find out what the story about Thomas is all about. We have a short video clip, which is our Bible reading for today. And if you've got magnifying glasses with you, the reading is also on this piece of paper. You can take that away with you to look at later or look at now, but the reading is there for you to look at later. But let's listen to it and watch it, first of all. Thank you, Joan and Morris.
Thomas was one of Jesus' disciples, but he was not with the others when Jesus visited them. The other disciples kept telling him, "We have seen Jesus," but Thomas doubted. He said, "I don't believe you. I want to see and touch the holes in his hands and his side, or I will never believe." 8 days later, and the disciples were indoors again. This time, Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus came in and stood among them. He said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Reach out and touch my side. Don't be an unbeliever. Believe." Whoa. Thomas did believe. "My Lord and my God," he said. Jesus said, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Those who believe in me without seeing me are blessed."
He really didn't believe Jesus had risen from the dead and that the cave was empty because he'd risen. He felt really down in the dumps. We'll find out a bit more about Thomas in a minute. Can you just imagine? I mean, what did Thomas want? What did Thomas want? Here he is, he's doubting whether Jesus really rose from the dead. And he wanted physical proof, like a magnifying glass might give you. He wanted the proof, the evidence. He wanted to see the wounds where Jesus had been stabbed on the cross. He wanted to touch them. He wanted, therefore, to get one of these pivotal moments where he could say, "My Lord and my God." Seeing was believing for Thomas. So this is your chance. Can you imagine how Thomas, you know, when he met Jesus, what he must have done? You know, is that real? Is it makeup? Is that actually a wound? Maybe what he really needed was binoculars to see closer. So you have, this is a bit like the generation game. I think it's like a three-minute task. We're going to play a piece of music. Some of you have started decorating those two pieces of paper that I asked you to have a go at. I'd like you to make your own pair of binoculars. So just roll those pieces of paper up. There's some masking tape on the table. Glue the cylinders together. Glue both of them together. And then you can make your own binoculars to look closely at things. Now, isn't it a good job we don't actually need binoculars to see God more clearly, that he is there? Jesus is with us. Jesus is risen. The tomb is empty, and neither does he need binoculars to look down on us, which I think is even more important. Okay, seeing is believing. For Thomas, it turned his moment of slough of despond, where he felt covered in mud, into something like a mountaintop experience. He really could see that Jesus was alive, that Jesus is the hope of the nations. Okay, so why is all this stuff about Thomas really important? I suppose it's a bit like the things you can't buy in the store are just as important as the things you can. You know, you can't go to the shelf and pick up a can of love, or you can't buy a bottle of Friends. You can't even buy time. But these things are important. The story of Thomas is faith pushing skepticism to trust, uncertainty to firm knowledge, blindness turning to sight. Have you ever tried moving a heavy box? No? That would be difficult for you. Yes, I suppose it would be difficult. Okay. But yet, you know, you might have tried pushing it, and that doesn't seem to work too well. So there is an alternative. You could try... we're going the wrong way now. You could try back one. Yeah, you could try giving it a shove, you know, going against it, but that doesn't always work very well. And sometimes you're there pushing this box, and then eventually, oh, it moves an inch and you fall over. It all ends up a bit messily, doesn't it? Well, Thomas must have thought the other disciples had gone completely bonkers. You know, here they are, they come back to him all jumping around and saying, "We've seen Jesus alive." And he says, "What do you mean? What are you on about? I don't get that." That's why some called him Doubting Thomas. But the Bible tells us actually he was courageous. He was loyal to Jesus. And although he didn't stay together with the other disciples, as Jesus had told them to do, in spite of those failings, he stands for Christians down the age. He stands for people like you and me down the age, when amid the excitement, he says, "No, show me the proof." He wanted those binoculars. And I think every time I throw in the word binoculars, you've got to look through yours. Yeah, yeah, shall we just make sure people haven't fallen asleep? So yeah, he needed those binoculars. He said, "Show me the proof." Thank you, Eddie. That's it. Yeah. What Thomas said still rings true for us today. It's entirely reasonable to say, "Hang on a minute, show me the proof." He stood up to the other 10 disciples and resisted their apparent lunacy until he'd worked it out for himself. And this gives us a model we can use today ourselves. Because there comes a point when most of us will say to ourselves, "Is it true? Is it true? Are the things that were said about Jesus true or not?" How many of you have been to Chard Library recently? Oh, well done. Good on you. Yeah, well worth a visit. Yeah. Well, do you remember that if you go into a library, there are two sets of books, aren't there? There are the books based on facts, and there are the books based on fictions. If we move on a slide, the books based on facts, you know, how rockets take off, how the Artemis crew came back to Earth, how they took off, how that mission went. And then there's fiction books, another click, like story books. They're good, but we don't muddle the two up, do we? No, we try to keep them separate. And we all have the right to say, like Thomas, am I looking at a book of fact or a book of fiction? Show me. I need my binoculars. Yes. Oh, well done. Very good. Yes, we like it. If Jesus is alive, then show me something so I can tell the difference. Is the story of Jesus fact or fiction? So it was all very well for Thomas, who witnessed Christ's wounds firsthand, but what proof have we got today? People often ask, don't they, when they look at the world today, where is God? Well, actually, the answer is that he's in the acts of selfless love and kindness. He's there when you help somebody. He's there when you use your life binoculars to look at what's happening to other people and you say, they need my help. I could do something to help them. We see God in his creation around us. But ultimately, we see him on what he has to offer through the empty cross. He's not there. He's risen. And no matter what happens around us, in the big world or the little world, this firm foundation is what will see us through. Compassion and courage will increase. This is the peace of knowing who Jesus is, with the certainty of eternal life. Throughout our whole lives, Jesus has been showing us his love and his wounds, just as he showed them to Thomas. Sometimes, yes, I need to see where we're going next. Sometimes it's really difficult, isn't it, to accept that Jesus offers new life. So here's an opportunity to make a reminder for yourself. On your tables, there's an envelope with some butterflies. Can you find the envelope with butterflies? And thanks to some lovely people in the church, they've all been excellently cut out. Thank you very much, folks. So your task, whilst we listen to another piece of music, is colour in a butterfly . And as it's still Easter time, we're going to make butterflies to remind ourselves of the transformation of fear into belief. And then when you've coloured your butterfly, if you come to our glue gun station, Mandy and Dorothy are going to glue your butterfly onto a little strawy wand, and then you can wave your butterfly about just like this, okay? Yes, we want to see it, don't we? Just like this, okay? So, a quick colouring of your butterfly, and then if you're able, come out here and we'll stick it onto a wand. If you find the journey a bit difficult, hand it to somebody else on your table, and they'll bring them up and we'll stick them on for you, and then you can wave your butterflies to remind yourself that Jesus enables that transformation to take place. An amazing thought, the new life that Jesus offers. For Thomas, when he looked closely, possibly with his binoculars, he realized that Jesus' new life, this could take away his fear and give him a certainty of belief. And the butterflies, you know, just remind us of this transformation. Feelings of relief, those few moments. Faith, the Bible describes, is not blind. We don't need binoculars to have faith. Belief is blind. Unbelief is blind, sorry. Faith sees a reality beyond what eyes can see, a reality that God reveals to us, which is more important, in fact, more real than what we can see with our physical eyes. Thomas, therefore, had his own special encounter with Jesus, which was he was not only willing to face, but actively pursued. He chased after it the opportunity to experience God's Christ's forgiving grace. And just as you might have pursued an Easter egg in the Easter egg hunt, searching, running, squealing with delight when found, so Jesus pursues you and rejoices when you find him. So the important thing is to keep asking those faith questions, and he'll help you find the answers. So here's an interesting task to just have a go at. We're going to use bubbles to represent the sudden appearance of Jesus and the breath of the Holy Spirit. And just as the disciples felt one minute he was here and the next he had gone, but he hadn't really gone at all. He was still living with them. But, you know, we see the bubbles disappear and you sort of think, oh, it's gone. It's quite sad. But Jesus is still with us. So I'm wondering, Will, if you could help me with this. We're going to give out some bubble machines and pots of bubble mixture, all right? Now, if you're feeling young at heart, just blow some bubbles, all right? All right, please try not to blow them over people, because some people don't like being bubbleized, all right? Some of them are highly technical. The ones like this, you can make the fan go, but you have to unscrew it and take the wand out. They're quite messy. I've already had one leakage. There are some pots. So I'm going to send Will round with those, and Will's going to do his best to give out some of those. If you're under 10, you can take away with you a pot of bubble mixture afterwards. That's yours to keep, or a bubble machine or something, okay? If you're over 60 and you fancy some, well, that might be possible as well, you know. I mean, if you don't want to do bubbles, there's also a packet of Post-it notes on your table, okay? Take a Post-it note and on that write just a one word, a praise word, something, perhaps a moment when you've thought of fear turning to certainty, doubt feeling to positivity, when you've, you know, a positive moment. And we're going to put those Post-it notes here on the table, where one of the glue guns was, okay? So, blow some bubbles to experience the coming of the Spirit whilst we listen to one more piece of music. Thank you, Joan. Just have a prayer a moment. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you revealed yourself to Thomas and you invited him to come closer to him to find out exactly that he was who he said he was. So thank you for those moments when you come into our lives and you say, look at me, ask for the proof, find out more about me, because I long to meet you at your point of need. Thank you, Jesus. And may we be encouraged by the way in which you blow into our lives through the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the hardest things, and this is our last activity, you'll be relieved to know, is letting go, isn't it? Those doubts, those fears, the things that hold us back, oh, it's really hard to let go of them. We want to carry around the rucksack, and then we wonder why it's so hard walking around, because we've let our boots become really dirty, and we've got, you know, clodded up with the woes of the world. So we have to let go. So in a moment, we're going to give you yet another envelope, with some black pieces of paper in them. They're meant to be like clouds. And on these clouds, I'd like you to record your worries or your doubts or your fears. It might be a word. It might be a picture. It might be how you feel. Often these things are quite secret, so you could make it like a sort of code, if you want. That's something only you understand. And then when you've done that, I'd like you to actually bring it, or get somebody else to bring it for you, and to dip it into the water, and then use the brush, and your fears and worries will be just brushed away by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then leave your cloud behind in the bowl. You don't need to take your cloud with you. Jesus invites you to leave these things behind. there's some chalks on the table. So write your message on your cloud in chalk. Okay? So Thomas was able to let go of his doubts and worries. We do sometimes find that hard. But hopefully, through all the activities we've looked at this morning and through our worship, you've sort of thought, yeah, actually, I need to find out. I need to pursue my doubts. I need to talk about my doubts with God, with Jesus. And that he can help me clean my boots. I wish he could. He can. He can help you start afresh. And for those of you who are regulars, you know, we usually try to finish with the words of the grace, which are here on the screen, and we say these to each other as a prayer, but with our eyes open, looking at one another, because we're part of God's family. So let's say together, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much for coming, for being brave. Well done. Hope you've survived. And as I say, if you're under 10 and you want to take any of the chalks or anything like that, you can do that as well. Thank you very much. And don't worry about the stuff here. We'll sort that out.